From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of May, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo, GlobalComResearch.com, out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will join us from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible to take a look at the weather forecast for here in the United States. It's a pattern-breaking one, he says, but probably not for the spring wheat areas, and dry conditions will continue in South America in the safrina corn crop growing areas of Brazil particularly. We'll discuss all of that with him as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at $6.43¾, down 31 cents. New crop December at $5.42¾, 15 and a half lower. And July soybeans were up 2¼ today at $15.86¼ on their settlement price. November new crop at $14.75, finished 4¼ higher. Bean meal down $2.90 at $4.18.50. The bean oil at $67.58, $1.80 lower. July wheat, soft red at $6.63. That's down a quarter, actually hard red there. And July soft red at $7.07¼, up 5¾ cents. Live cattle futures were down about 30 cents. Feeders were up a dime, and hogs finished down $1.37½ for 100 pounds. Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday afternoon to discuss a whole bunch of things that have happened in the marketplace all week long. There were numbers out from the Brazilian counterpart to USDA called CONAB. USDA numbers were out Wednesday. There was a bridge closure along the Mississippi River, though that has opened back up, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. And the market just was a bit all over the place, at least for a while, and then it decided to turn down. What happened for the week?
Well, and you throw on top of that the Colonial Pipeline and that pressuring the energies initially and then giving the energies a huge boost later. And you throw on top of that the CPC saying that La Nina has ended. And I'm sitting here thinking, really? And so did it ever start in the U.S. Midwest as far as, you know, it's been cool and wet for the last 2 months? I think, Todd, the best way I could describe this week is that, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but I think at some point you do have to just step back and look at just the basics. And I think the USDA report verified that corn was tighter than beans. The USDA report verified that the wheat was going to be used as a substitute as much as possible for the corn, and it would be used aggressively during the winter wheat harvest. And then I think the other thing that the USDA report confirmed was they don't see a tightening supply-demand scenario either here in the United States or the world. So if I look at all three of those things and I see that we are bringing beans in to the United States from Brazil, and I see that we are $55 a ton over Brazilian bean prices and Argentine bean prices at the Gulf right now, it makes me feel as though that if the beans want to go higher here, then the corn and wheat are eventually going to join up with them, because I don't think the beans can do it alone. And that's what I'm going to really explore, that and the fact that we still carried a 45-cent premium in the July corn with the May expiring at 685. So these are the two things I'm going to really explore in the weekend copy this weekend, and really build, I think, build the case that it's really time for buying puts, not selling cash, not defending, not being bullish here, getting feed needs locked in, yes, but getting puts bought if we don't see a pretty swift recovery next week.
And so that's on the idea that you protect the crop insurance harvest price that's in place at the moment.
Yes, and it's all on the idea and predicated upon the principle that you're not overselling your cash bushels, because I am hearing more and more in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. I haven't heard it as much out west yet. It may just be because I haven't talked to some people out west and, you know, that would know about it yet. But chemical availability, parts availability, you know, the things that the supply chain has given us these massive kinks in are not going to go away anytime soon. And I'm really getting more nervous about the production side of being able to make a big yield or getting a big yield and being able to bring it in out of the fields. And so I don't want producers to oversell their bushels at this stage of the game, because this supply chain issue is not getting better. It's actually getting worse.
Can I explore the wheat side of this just a bit for you, the feeding side of it? Because the two Kansas-based analysts that I have, you and Dan O'Brien, have talked about this some on the air already, meaning that beef producers in particular have been substituting already wheat, and you're telling me that it's very likely when the hard red winter wheat crop comes in that they'll continue to do so. What kind of issue does that create for the grain stocks number when we get to the June 30 report?
Well, it makes it tough if we don't keep shipping out the bushels. You know, AMS came out with their report this week on the shipping, and grain barge traffic as of the week of May 8th, year to date, was up almost 50% versus 2020. It hit a brand new record, 14.5 million tons. 10.4 million of that was corn. That was a brand new record. That was almost up 100% from last year and almost 80% above the 10-year average. These are amazing numbers, and this is what you had asked about this several months ago. Can we ship this out? And it's like, well, you can't do both corn and beans. You're going to have to go back and forth between the two. So I'm not as worried about the grain stocks figures if we continue on this path of shipping out a lot of corn, because I think the ethanol and the export market can more than offset the livestock demand. But the reason why the June to August time period, I think USDA highlighted on wheat feeding so aggressively, is because if you look at Goodland, Kansas cash wheat prices, which would be hard red wheat, before the report, they were 75 cents under cash corn prices. That's only going to get more comfortable if those areas like Goodland have good hard red wheat harvests, and that cash basis just starts getting hit harder and harder and harder, which seasonally happens. And so it makes it much more comfortable for the livestock feeder to have available supplies with a weaker basis and a decent, you know, substitution in terms of feed conversion. So I think that the grain stocks report is certainly something we want to watch, but I'm not as nervous about that because of the, what, 4-year low that we put in on ethanol stocks. And I think we're at an 8-year high now on Central Illinois DDG prices. So I think the ethanol demand will remain strong. I'm not saying it's going to get any better, because I think these gas prices are getting way too high.
Okay. And finally, many are wondering, and you mentioned the difference between the May expiration and the next contract, premium 45 cents to the May. Was somebody just caught on the wrong side of that? What happened there?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I called into my colleagues in Chicago the day before the report, because we started to see some really wacky May-July trade the other way. And I asked them if there were still some caught shorts in this market, because we still had several hundred contracts of May corn open interest. And so I couldn't get verification that that was the case, but I think it was, based upon how the market was acting and the number of ticks we were seeing in the May contract. And so this leaves you with a pretty interesting market. And this is why I want to start getting some new crop corn hedged for livestock feeders. I'm buying call vertical spreads here to give myself a dollar and a half range to the upside in case this DEES market does want to go to where the July is, or where the July may want to go to where the May is. And I think we're doing mostly fund position squaring, as you say, trapped shorts, trapped longs. And then I think this bridge closure just added a whole new element, because the basis got wiped out in some key locations. And I'm not so certain, Todd, that some of the high frequency formulations that the funds use didn't get kind of put out of whack because of this bridge closure and the basis going out of whack in some of these areas that are real important to our interior.
You expect next week to be a more stable market with less volatility, I suppose?
No, I don't. I think it's going to get worse and worse from here on out. And that's, I just can't encourage people enough to use known risk options and don't oversell your cash bushels at this point.
Yeah, so put the puts in place because you know the cost.
Exactly. And you know your break even, you know your profitability. And I believe that if I buy a 30-cent corn put, a 3-to-1 risk reward ratio is reasonable. In other words, if I lose that 30 cents, I'm going to plan on a 75 cent or 90 cent rally in the DEES futures. And I think we can get there based upon how these old crop prices look right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's Mike Zuzlow at Global Com Research. www.thepipelinenetwork.com. Let's check the weather forecast on this Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass now joins us from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us. And, you know, thanks for the great day. It's gorgeous outside today.
I take all the credit for days like this.
Yeah, you should, because you get blamed for the bad ones, too.
I know.
You know, I want to start here in the United States. So is there anything different about this time? Because the pattern appears to be changing, but you're the expert in the area.
Yeah, we've had a problem here from the, well, a lot of April into early May, where we just could not shake upper level flow pattern that largely came out of the Northwest and dove into a trough over the Great Lakes. And the result of that is we've just seen cooler than normal conditions. The crop has been unable to just like spring out of the ground because of it. And on top of that, I mean, think back to last weekend on Mother's Day. I mean, just a cold rain, persistent, you know, coming through. So what's happening is the jet stream pattern in the Pacific is changing, and it's now beginning to split across the U.S. So a branch of the jet stream is going to Canada, and we're just leaving these little cutoff lows are going to come through the southern plains. So the net effect is warmth comes back, but we open the Gulf of Mexico up like, you know, like a fire hydrant, and it is just going to send moisture north right through the hard red winter wheat belt, right through the southern plains. So that part of the cotton belt, sorghum down there, and then of course what we do grow in corns and beans in the plains is going to get a dumping. I mean, chances of getting more than 2 inches of rain in that area over the next 7 to 10 days is like 90%. It's very, very wet. Now we get it here, chances on Saturday for precip in Illinois, and then again multiple times next week. So it's going to be a wet go of it. So unfortunately, that means if you got the ability to get out today and tomorrow to get a lot of field work done right here in Illinois, I'm just saying put the pedal down and finish, because it'll close up next week a few times here in central Illinois. So that's the pattern shift. It's mild, but we're going to tap into a lot of Gulf moisture.
Expected to stick around for a long time or not?
Well, we're almost to that point where breaking over cool doesn't matter anymore. Do you know what I mean? In other words, if we go cool, that's a high in the upper 60s and lows that don't get anywhere close to freezing versus what it could have been like it was in April and in early May. So I don't anticipate us going back away from this mild pattern for a while. In fact, I expect through mid-June a very rapid accumulation of GDUs compared to average, which means if the crop is in and going, it should have a good start here in Illinois as we work our way through the rest of spring.
You did not mention that there would be rainfall in the northern plains and the spring wheat areas. Will there?
Well, a lot of those folks up there are not too happy with guys like me, because we had some early indications of better moisture return in that area, and then it just fell flat on its face. And there's a saying we have in atmospheric science. It's called all signs fail in times of drought. And the drought that's there, every time we see a signal of better precip, it either underperforms, or the models overpredict, or it doesn't materialize at all. And so we've got folks in the northern plains, Montana, both Dakotas, and the southern Canadian prairie that would want nothing more than just a shot at some of the rain that the plains are going to get. And unfortunately, their soil moisture values are below 2%. And their drought, while the drought indicator keeps just dropping them deeper and deeper into drought categories. And this is just going to be, it's going to be a major concern moving forward, because there's just not enough moisture there to completely rectify the situation from now through the next couple of months.
Sounds familiar, kind of like what's been happening in parts of Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, the moisture just stopped about 40 days ago in southern Brazil, and now it's stopped for the rest of Brazil. And given the fact that that crop is late, we're going to put a lot of the safrinha crop in a high-risk category, especially in southern Brazil. There is one ray of hope for those folks. Now, the next 7 days, bone dry, but there's a front advancing through Argentina that may clip the southern part of Brazil. So I'm talking about Paraná, Rio Grande do Sul, maybe Mato Grosso do Sul. That's about 30% of their corn crop down there that could get rain, but we'll be talking about it next Friday. That's when I'm thinking it's going to come through, And so therefore, there's a lot of time for that to change. So the South American drought situation, well, we keep seeing the numbers peel back on total production, and it's largely driven by the drought conditions that are there now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.